listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I am a woman. Hear me roar. When I grab the mic, it's never a bore. When I'm on stage saying a rhyme, I often wonder what you think of mine. Is it fresh or weak or is it live or dead? Yo, it's got to be something if you're bobbing your head.
Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Wednesday, which is a pretty big day around these time around these parts. It's a Game of Thrones Wednesday.
I know we recap so much stuff.
It really does. I will but yeah, it's a Game of Thrones recap Wednesday. So we will be talking about Thrones for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we try to bring in a little help from time to time. You should be very familiar with the voice that you're hearing. If you're in the chat a lot, you should know her from the chat as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to podcasts, you should know her from her podcast, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine. It's our girl, Miss Smart. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Oh, by the way, we can officially say, I guess, semi-defunct podcast.
Yeah. You know, that's a good point. If being Mary Jane started and y'all ain't out there talking shit about Mary Jane, then I feel like, you know, it might be a wrap. I don't know.
Well, we're not talking about, well, so here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I think Sojo is still watching it, and Lady Buddha, you know, she quit a couple seasons ago, and I just, every time I put up, I just ignore it.
I mean, that's valid. That's a reasonable, yeah. That's a reasonable way to handle it. And then I know, y'all always normally talk about American Horror Story, but, Lena Dunham's supposed to be on this latest season.
I'm not doing that to my spirit, because I know that she's a 50%er. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I hear you. There's nothing, I mean, look. We all have to sacrifice what we can, and we all have to save our sanity. Mm-hmm. Extra Lena Dunham is not something that's in the budget mm-hmm. for a lot of people in this mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm to the point. If you are a white woman and you're not in my cell phone, I'm sorry. I can't, you know, I just assume you're 53%. Yeah. Until you prove otherwise. I just don't have the emotions anymore.
Right. Until you prove otherwise.
But you know what? You always have a home here. So anytime you want to pop in and dish the dirt with us, you know, you're always welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, all right, guys. I know what you guys are here for. You're here for the Game of Thrones recap, but we have some upfront business to take care of, first of all. Number one, this is the Blackout Test podcast. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Leave us 5-star reviews and we'll read them on the show as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball
and bullet ball extreme. And we're sponsored by Shadow Dog Productions. They have a new audio play album. That's the good news. But the bad news is that it's a family friendly album geared towards kids.
That's the bad news.
The good news is the star of the album, Liliana Ketchman, who stars in the show Dance Moms, so that's good. But then the bad news is that a lot of motherfuckers hate that show.
Aww.
but the good news is they have a link and you can check it out on iTunes, Short Stories with Liliana Ketchman. So for people that listen to the show, they want to go support and get the audio play albums, but sometimes a little too much cursing for when me and Karen are involved. Well, now you got something for kids, okay?
Aww.
Your kids can listen to this, be inspired, and you won't have to turn it off when they get in the car or, you know, pretend that, you know, let them know that you ain't shit. Also, we have another sponsor. This is our newest sponsor, Triangle Wine Company. They have a huge selection of fine wines and craft beer for all over the world for every budget. From well-known brands to rare finds, from small producers to where you can shop online and have your order shipped to your home or workplace. We just got a shipment in today.
Mm-hmm.
It was fancy. I don't even be knowing what
Mm-mm.
you know what's going on with these. It's Mm-mm. like the parts in the bottle that, you know, if you don't drink a lot of wine, you don't understand.
We don't know what to do with. I think we even got one where the cork thing was like gold. I ain't know what to do with that. I was like, right. Oh, I ain't know I'm coming this color.
Now I just want people to come to my house so I can open up wine and feel fancy.
Pop bottles.
But whether you're burning your enemies at the sept or giving them to the mountain in his sex dungeon basement. Triangle Wine Company wines go fine. They also have craft beer, everything, man. If you live in the Raleigh-Durham area of North Carolina, you can actually stop by their stores for their weekly free wine tastings and beer events. Visit TriangleWineCo.com to compare their competitive prices and save 10% on your order by putting in code TBGWT through the end of August. So you might want to get on that while the getting's good, because once August is over, you know, it's gonna be a wrap.
That's a wrap. I would go to the free wine testing if I was closer.
All you winos and alcoholics, what y'all gonna do then?
Right?
Pay 100% when you could have paid 10% off? Come on now.
Come on.
Be smart.
Do you guys have Total Wines down there?
Do we have what one? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Total Wine. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you know, okay.
Yep.
That's good shit. But that's not your sponsor, but I just wanted to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fuck Total Wine. Matter of fact, I meant to say Total Wine is racist. And if you go up in there, you support the Republicans and you a coon. So that's why I only go to TriangleWineCo.com to get my wine for the pure black experience. So speaking of pure black experience, I mean, we can't just get right into the recap. Y'all mm-hmm. know what it is. White people, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
This is your one show a week. I know y'all skipped all the other ones. Oh my God, what is this? Good times, all this black pain. Well, you can't avoid this. Mm-mm. We are going to talk about y'all ass right now. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game, we go all around the globe. We find different articles that make us feel fucked with as black people. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. See who's fucking with us today. Here's one. Police search for teens who spray painted racial slurs at a Mesquite church. Of course, you know, you gotta be racist. You gotta go to the church. That's a staple of white racism, is fucking with the black church. I don't know if you get bonus points.
Or the mosque.
There's a game show somewhere. Mesquite police are searching for three teenage boys who spray painted racial slurs and sexual images at the New Hope Baptist Church.
Oh!
The teens damaged a light and surveillance camera at the predominantly black church on Newsom Road at 2 a.m. Tuesday night. The next night, three people who appeared to be the same teens spray painted the building with racist graffiti just after midnight. About 40 children saw the graffiti when they arrived at the church the next morning. The Reginald Jefferson said Friday, graffiti stained the church parking lot, a storage shed, and a van, Jefferson said. The graffiti included a racist message in reference to John Edwards, a black 15-year-old boy who was fatally shot by a white police officer in Balt Springs. Why? When they say the young generation gonna save us, this is the kind of shit where I'm just like, how? You know, black kid gets killed and you think, let's go spray up the church.
Yeah, and then, you know, it just so happened that, even though quote unquote video don't mean anything, this will happen that a lot of churches and mosques actually stepping that up. They actually got recording equipment. They're like paying for more security guards and stuff like that, because they was like, because motherfuckers done lost their minds.
Yeah, you got to. Jefferson said there are mixed emotions within the church about the graffiti. No one likes to be singled out in all of this. We have had so much support from the community. Mesquite residents, many who were not members of the church, helped remove the graffiti. Others donated money and joined members to pray. Angel Mata, a criminal defense attorney in Dallas, lives a mile from the church and dropped off a check of $250. When I saw that it happened in Mesquite, it resonated with me, she said. I just wanted to make sure everybody's okay and give them my support. Mata said she was glad to see residents come together to remind the church that they had the support of the community. She noted that the children who saw the graffiti were between ages 6 and 13. The fact that they had to sit down and have that conversation with them now is pretty sad. Mm-hmm. We just talked about that. That Procter & Gamble commercial.
Yep.
Reggie Ruffin, a social rights activist from Dallas, helped remove the graffiti from the vans. The pastor and Ruffin watched the paint run off the car together. We were very joyful and relieved. Watching me spray that all on there and watching the paint come right off was like, amen. Religious people be thankful for everything, boy. They be like, hey, Jesus did this. He got that graffiti off of their Lord. I'm like, it was scientifically the paint that it was the stuff y'all bought from the, okay, never mind.
That don't matter.
The church is holding a prayer meeting at 10 a.m. Saturday, and Jefferson said the message in Sunday service will be love to others. It's our responsibility and our endeavor to love at any rate, whether we get love in return. And Crime Stoppers is paying $5,000 for information on who the kids are, so they still don't know. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100.
Miss Mark?
I'm going to go with 75 because I think the person who dropped off the check, their kids probably did it.
You solved that caper. I was going to go 75 just because of the person who dropped off the check. Cause sometimes, you know, it's easy to forget there are good people out there too. Mm-hmm. Rather than just being like, not me, to be inspired to go and give some actual money and drive your ass mm-hmm. over there.
Cause people actually do care, but a lot don't.
Yeah, I appreciate that person. And fuck those, the 75s for all three of them motherfuckers that put the graffiti there. Let's see, how about, a U.S. Mint employee is on leave after putting a noose on a black co-worker's chair. Yeah, I'm sure that's a reasonable thing to do. Sometimes you gotta play these jokes in the office. Mm-hmm. You guys know how it goes.
Nope, I don't know nothing about the life.
An employee at the U.S. Mint in Philadelphia has been placed on leave after making a noose and leaving it on a black, you know, that's part of the underrated thing I never think about with these news stories. You gotta go somewhere and make a noose. You don't buy a noose.
No,
you gotta go on YouTube, watch a news tutorial.
I was a Girl Scout and a Brownie. You don't learn how to tie a noose in either of those programs.
Exactly. This is some effort right here. Okay. Surveillance video captured the coin maker, who is white, walking across the factory floor with the noose in his hand. Of course, just open the shut case. Many of the men's black workers called and texted the union president the next day. The Treasury Department Inspector General reportedly launched an internal investigation. A Treasury spokesman said the department has absolute zero tolerance for the kind of misconduct reported at the Mint.
Why is he fired then if we have a zero tolerance policy?
Maybe they got a little bit of tolerance. I don't know. The nooses have recently been spotted in public places across the U.S., including three different incidents of nooses found hanging outside of Washington, D.C. museums. I think we know which one.
Yeah. The nigga museum. Right. Let's just keep that real.
We were there when one of those happened. We didn't mm-hmm, see it, but mm-mm. We were in DC when one of them happened. So anyway, 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, he get 100. And, people who run the place get 100 too. He should be fired. You got him on videotape. What are we talking about?
I gotta give him 100 as well. What about you, Miss Smart?
So, on the surface, I'm going to give it 100, but I've got to take 25 points away for lack of creativity. I'm sick of them using nigger. I'm sick of them hanging nooses. Like, you know, reinvent your racism.
You know? Step your game up.
Yeah, give me some creativity.
That's a good point. You know what? Let's do one more then. Let's see if we can find a creative story for Miss Smart. Step your game up, racist. Omaha, Nebraska, a Navy veteran had his car window smashed and was left a disturbing calling card on his car over the weekend. A calling card.
I know, that's very creative.
I mean, that is, I mean, you had to go to a printer, possibly order this online.
I know, hopefully Vistaprint didn't send it.
You gotta come up with the perfect font. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a lot. What color are you gonna use? Right. Is it two-sided? You know, what grade paper? I mean,
is it glossy?
Right, is it going to be glossy? 26-year-old Delonte Vinson, who currently works at, what is this, Offutt Air Force Base, was out with a friend Saturday night. He left his car parked at a meter near 16th and Mike Fahey Streets. We walked back to my car, and at first, all I saw was glass around my passenger window. I thought someone broke into my car, so I checked, but nothing was gone. Vincent said he realized everything was still in his car. He went to the driver's side to check the rest of the windows. He then found what appeared to be a business card on the driver's side window. I saw this side first and I was like, this looks like a club symbol. They must have been promoting something. But then I flipped it over and read what it said. And I said, okay, this is clearly for me. The card has a swastika symbol with the words "alt-right" on one side. The other side says America was 90% white in 1950, is now 60%. Make America great again.
They don't know their facts, do they? Yeah. It was all brown till y'all bought y'all asses over here on somebody's boat.
It also says Trump, mm-hmm. Trump is the first step, we're the next. It then lists three fringe websites, one resembling a podcast blog. I read it and didn't say anything. I just gave it to my friend. She started crying and called the cops, said Vincent. I was trying to stay collected and not get mad. Why would he give it to his friend? Here, you hold this.
Because she's white. Oh. He's trying to prove to her, look, racism still exists.
Mm-hmm. They just be concealing it. Mm-hmm. They called the police mm-hmm. around.
Read between them lines.
They called the police around 1:30 a.m. Sunday morning to report the crime, but were told it will be about 2 hours before the police could make it out to his car. Vincent says he didn't wait until 3:30 a.m. but left after waiting for hours. Oh, you don't say. The cops were a little hesitant to get out there on time. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, and depending on where you live now and depending on the severity of it, a lot of times they don't even come out no more. In a lot of places, you do the report, everything on the phone online.
Yeah, it's a hate crime though. Like they'll just be like, oh, breaking into a car, you just call your insurance company. But yeah, it's also a hate crime. Vincent, who moved to Omaha about a month ago from Virginia, says he checks around the cars at night and didn't see any other cars with the window smashed in or with the same calling card.
Mm-hmm. Right. I didn't. Because they know you the one of the few little brown dots out there, and they knew your car.
I mean, they watched him get out of his car, walk away, and then smash
the window. They've probably been watching him for a while.
I don't even know anyone here, and so it feels like someone had to be watching me to know what my car was, who I was, because I don't know anyone else here, said Vincent. Vincent took his car to the shop to get his window repaired Tuesday afternoon, but was told they couldn't do it Tuesday due to the storm coming late that night. So what he's supposed to do with his car? Vincent says he just wants to put this all behind him and not carry any hate. I'm still numb to it. It's just shocking that these things happen, but this isn't going to stop. People will be ignorant. That's why I choose to move forward and not retaliate and stoop to their level. Yeah, you also don't know who did it.
It literally could be anybody in the town. Literally, it could have been the people you went up to talking about fix my car. They were like, nah, nigga, we ain't fixing your shit, because they may have bust your window out. You don't know. It makes you paranoid.
It appears to be an isolated incident, by the way. So, guess the race. Cameras, white. 0 to 100.
100.
All right, what about you, Ms. Smart?
I'm going to give it 100 because I actually appreciate them being able to do it and not get caught. Like, you know, the car being parked out. So they had to be mm-hmm. rather stealthily, mm-hmm. you know, I appreciate that.
A calling card. I like the fancy business card.
Right, and the card.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they were able to earn 100, guys. I got to give it 100 as well. Let's move into Game of Thrones recap, because that's really what.
That's what everybody here.
All the white people who've been hitting the forward 30 seconds button for the last 5 minutes. That's
I know, going, they still talking.
They still, these niggas are still upset about this racism thing. Come on, guys. Let's get into Game of Thrones, though. That's right, guys, it's time to talk about it. Game of Thrones. This is season 7 episode. But did y'all know we're only getting 7 episodes?
That's it.
Uh-huh. And then next season is the final season, and it'll only be like 7 or 8 episodes.
Oh, so instead of giving us one long season,
maybe even 6,
breaking it up.
And yeah, and the other seasons spoke the out that they, you know what, allegedly the episodes are gonna be like an hour and a half each.
What, next time,
next season? Yeah. Oh, allegedly. At any rate, this is already episode 2, man. Called Stormborn, directed by Mark Myloid, and got a 9.27 rating compared to last week's 10.1 million rating, so still extremely high. Mm-hmm. Karen, as always, I will ask you, what'd you think about this episode overall? Where, we got a lot. We got, Daenerys planning how she's gonna do her war to take over Westeros. We got Jon, realizing he may have to ally with Dany and them dragons to fight the White Walkers. We got Arya realizing she need to head home, her family not all dead, and Cersei plotting, to make Westeros great again. What'd you think?
It was good. I loved it.
All right. What about you, Miss Smart?
I enjoyed it immensely.
All right. I like this one a lot. Not as much as last week, but, I still liked it a lot. It felt a little quote unquote boring. I know what people, you know, cause there's a lot of talking parts, but I actually enjoy those talking parts. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes our reviews longer when they do a lot of talking, compared to when it's just mostly action. But then right when you were ready to write the episode off, it's like, oh, okay, this one's a little more of a setup episode. You got that expensive looking ship battle at the end that looked like Pirates of the Caribbean on steroids, and that shit was everything.
Come on.
All right, let's get into it. I broke it down by location again because I feel like that's the easiest way to do it. Mm-hmm. We got the North, we got the Citadel, we got King's Landing, and we got Dragonstone. I think we'll do Dragonstone last because that's what leads to the ship battle at the end, but the other ones we can do either way you want. Karen, no, actually, Miss Smart, where would you like to go first?
I don't know. The pressure. Winterfell?
All right, let's go to the north. North. North side, Long Beach. Low side, Long Beach. So we start off with Sansa reading a letter from Tyrion, that Jon has gotten. Jon's read the letter. He's giving it to Sansa. Now, low-key, I like this because it means Sansa is in on the leadership shit. It's her, Davos, and Jon up there.
Right.
You know, for people that do the whole, like, you know, who the hell she thinks she is. She's, and Jon is including her in the leadership strategy and information, right?
And he should, because his whole thing was like, you're going to be included, just don't make a big scene publicly. Right. That's all I ask.
Stop countermanding me in front of company.
Right.
At any rate, Jon, the letter is from Tyrion Lannister, who is a friend of Jon. Jon met him in season one when they went to the wall together. Sansa obviously knows Tyrion because she was married to him, quote unquote.
He never touched her.
Yeah, he was the nice Lannister and shit like that. Well, the letter is summoning him to Dragonstone. And Dragonstone, of course, is where Dany is with them dragons and getting ready to her base operations before she plans this war. And it's like, hey, man, it's me, Tyrion, dog. All dwarves are basically bastards to their fathers. So I can feel you a bastard. I'm a bastard. At any rate, come on down here, pledge your loyalty to Dany, and let's hook up and let's go kill Cersei, man. And Davos is like, you know, Sansa's immediately like, nope, don't do that shit. Fuck them. We got shit to do up here. We in the north. And Davos is like, you know what, man? She got dragons and they got fire. Fire can kill whites.
Right.
Maybe we should hear her out. And Arya like, you saying he should go down there? He's like, no, I'm not saying Arya. That. I mean, Sansa. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Sansa's like, should he go down there? And he's like, nah, I ain't say all that. But, you know, that's kind of where that scene ends. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because if fire can kill whites, you got that down there with the dragons. And then you got the dragon glass down there, too, which Jon doesn't know about yet.
Right.
At this point in the show. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like that's the answer to everything going on in the north. Everything is in Dragonstone. Arya is heading to King's Landing. And she overhears some merchants talking about Dany's dragon. She's at this inn and, or this bar, and she's, eating food and shit, chilling. And the homeboy Hot Pie shows up.
Out of nowhere. I thought he was dead.
My nigga. So Hot Pie shows up and he notices it's Arya and he sits down and, he had some bread he was holding. She was just like, who this bread for? And then just start eating it.
She was throwing down, too.
Like a savage.
Right. right, like a goddamn savage. And she, not only was she eating it like a savage, when he was like, girl, what you doing over here, how you straight, everything all right? And she was just like, you know, like, what happened to you last time? You know, you got taken off somewhere and I didn't know what the fuck happened to you. It's been years.
Right.
And she was like, you got an L? And he gave her some L and she chugged that shit down so hard. He was looking at her like, this is not the Aria I knew.
Mm-mm.
Like, she's seen some things.
Right.
And so, now that he knows she's living that thug life, he asked her, where was she going? And she said to King's Landing because Cersei is the queen. Which, you know, I don't think he meant I'm gonna kill Cersei, but I mean, he kind of knew. Right. And then Hot Pot was like, well, why you going there when y'all got Winterfell back? And Arya like, what you talking about? You know,
I know she ain't get the memo. She been out the loop. She been off the internet.
She like, you lying like shit, Hot Pot.
Right. I ain't checked my Twitter yet. You right. Ain't telling the truth.
So he's like, yeah, your fam, like Jon Snow, the king of the North. He got Winterfell right now, and you know, the Starks is back. And she thanked him, and then he was like, she was like, how much this cost? She had a whole bag of coins because she just been killing niggas and robbing them, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And or she got them great Frey coins.
Come on,
the Walder mm-hmm. Frey, that when she killed his family.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what she got that money.
It's probably Lannister gold. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah, you ain't got friends, don't pay for no sandwiches, girl, it's on me, boo. On and then he took a good look at her and he was like, I can't believe I thought you was a boy, you pretty as fuck. And then Arya's like, you know, take care of yourself, Hot Pie. And he was like, girl, I'm a survivor, they don't kill the pie motherfucking man.
Right, they might kill other people, they ain't gonna kill me. Then he even sat down, he was like, you know, I've like put sugar in it and brown it, you know, my pies when mm-hmm. I make it. And she was like, well, I didn't do that when I made mine. He was like, you made pies, girl? She was like, yeah, something like that.
She said one or two.
Yeah.
And it was full mm-hmm. of phrase. Full of phrase. I make people pies, bitch.
I know, even better.
Mm-hmm. Soylent Green. So then back in Winterfell, John gets Sam's letter about the dragon glass and Dragonstone. And he informs everyone that he's going to go to Dragonstone to get at that dragon glass because it's the only thing that can kill White Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, look, it's gonna, you know, they like Tyrion invited me, and he told everybody, like he got the letter from Samwell, and he immediately gathered everybody in the hall to tell them, this is what I'm about to do. So,
and the thing is, for me, and maybe I'm naive, I applaud him for that, because you might as well be truthful with them, because not only are you risking your life, they're risking their life following you to the unknown. So you better be up front with them, because if some shit come out and you're not telling the truth, everybody, you almost will defeat what you're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think transparency is, it matters,
yes,
but
it does.
Also, that's such a stark thing to do, to tell everybody. Like, he's such a honorable person. I would have just left and been like, man, y'all niggas will figure it out. Like, just tell Sansa you in charge and leave, because, you know, honestly, if you the king, it really ain't everybody's decision, it's your decision.
Correct.
And that's ultimately what this scene comes down to, because, you know, he's like, hey, look, I'm gonna head out, and like Sansa's like, nah, that shit's a trap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she,
yeah, she's suspicious. Mm-hmm. She's highly suspicious of like everybody,
but I don't blame her though. I like literally out of all the shit she done been through, and truth be told, she learned a lot in the castle. Like he tried mm-hmm. to downplay it, but he was like, bitch, everybody that Cersei wanted to kill, she found a way to kill them niggas, be it hook or crook. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I trust nobody and no one.
Yeah,
I don't blame her. I'd be like that too. You know, from
I mean,
her perspective.
She's also seen the worst of people.
Right.
Like
she's come a long way.
Yeah. Like, it's funny because I think John should be less trusting.
Correct.
Because John died. And I know people probably don't understand my stance on this, but I don't like John being honorable. I like him more when he's cautious, because nigga, you died. Like, that's why I never liked him before he got killed. Cause I was just like, man, he gonna die because he think people are better than people are. People ain't shit. Now in this case, it's a little different, because I don't think John's being naive. Mm-mm. But I do wish Sansa would stop countermanding him in front of people. At this point, like, because one, they already had this talk last week. Two, at this point, you know, it's really showing the lack of communication between both of them, and they can kind of clean this up behind closed doors. Now, he's also violating,
right?
Because he could have just, this plan sounds like he made his mind up before he told everybody,
right?
So he could have just as easily pulled her to the side, because that was the discussion last week. She is the actual true queen of the North. It is her blood on that throne. You know, he's supposed to be a bastard anyway, so she has more right to the seat than he does,
right?
And if she's gonna prop him up and support him, she needs to understand the optics of supporting him in front of people and kind of, and like reprimanding him behind closed doors. But then also he needs to understand briefing her before he makes these decisions, instead of going on the fly in front of everybody.
Right. Now, I do have a problem with that. That's why you have your boss or manager make a decision that involves you, but they don't tell you what shit and come out and be like, well, this is what you're gonna do. You're like, bitch, what am I gonna do? Why didn't you tell me this? I could have been prepared.
Right.
Well, you know what? Yeah. We all agree that she learned a lot from Cersei, but she obviously didn't learn anything from Marjorie, because Marjorie certainly is about closed doors, behind closed doors, you know, manipulating men to do what she needed them to do.
Yeah, she didn't.
And that's a lesson, what's her name, didn't get.
Well, I will throw this out here, though. Marjorie dead.
Well, there's that. That's a minor thing, though. I mean, you know what?
I think Lady,
you know what I'm saying, like,
didn't get a hold of her, because that's the woman that could have taught her something.
Well, she talked to Sansa too, but I'm saying, of all the people that, like, it, of the advice that she's sticking with, it sounds like she's going, even her hair looks kind of like Cersei's. It sounds like she's going more down the Cersei path than the Margaery path, specifically because Cersei alive. Like, Cersei killed Margaery, and I think she, like, yeah, it don't really matter if motherfuckers like you or not, because liking somebody and them being alive are two different things.
Come on.
That's my guess anyway, because I mean, Marjorie had the gang sold until she got blown up, you know what I mean?
Come on.
She was the new hotness, but Cersei crazy.
It's always X factor. You can never calculate for crazy.
Yeah, I love that that's a theme on this show from season one to now. Like, it's always gonna be that way, that men get the power, but they never listen to the women in their lives.
Come on.
Like, they always, you know.
That's how people get their heads chopped off, stabbed, fucked up at red weddings and shit.
But what's wild is the one time that a man really listened to women was Rob listening to Caitlyn and Talissa, and the red wedding happened.
Yeah.
Like, the one time that a nigga was like, I'm gonna listen, fuck these generals, I'm gonna listen to my mom, my wife, and nigga, you got killed. Can't trust everybody, bro. At any rate, Sansa's like, this shit a trap. Our grandfather went to King's Landing when the Mad King was there and got roasted. And then Dany don't give a fuck about the White Walkers. She just want to take over the Seven Kingdoms, which, guess what? The North is one of the Seven Kingdoms, dumbass. So, why the fuck you gonna go there? Because all she care about is your loyalty. She don't give a fuck about these wars. And then some old niggas stood up, they got some courage, they start hating, like, fuck them Lannisters, man. Fuck Tyrion. I ain't never met him, but he ain't shit. And John was like, me and Sansa met Tyrion, he cool people, he wouldn't even do that to your boy.
Right.
And they was like, yeah, whatever, dog. And then another old man was like, your brother did the same shit and got killed riding to the south when he went to the Red Wedding, fucking with them Southerners. You need to just stick with us. And then even little Lady Mormont got up and was like, the king of the North need to stay in the North. You ain't the king of the South in the world. You just stay your ass up here with us.
I need you to be king.
Right. And then John was like, whatever, man, I'm the king. I'm gonna do what the fuck I gotta do to defeat the army of the dead, cause I seen them. I been in the shit, man.
Right.
And none of y'all been in there. Y'all ain't seen it. Like, I seen these niggas. And you know what's even worse is the wildlings weren't there no more, cause they went to go man that castle at the sea. So that means nobody else with him seen the fucking White Walkers. Even, you know, cause it's, the crows, they at the wall. So literally everybody that's ever fought some fucking White Walkers is gone. Either gone or dead, or right. In the, or a White Walker.
Right. So it's John telling them, y'all don't understand, shit is about to be crazy, and y'all think I'm just fucking around. Like, I really understand, we don't have long. like, if they get past that wall, we all gonna be in trouble, and we got to learn how to fight. Because he had to convince him. He was like, everybody, even my grandbaby, nigga, half the population can't fight. Everybody gotta fight. Like, come on, dog.
And it was like, if they come to the south far enough, sure, they'll reach Danny and the dragons, but nigga, by then,
all y'all
gonna be dead. Y'all don't have time to wait for that.
Do they know that he died?
I don't think they know. I don't think they know.
Yeah. Well, what's the secret though? Like, why? I mean, if I die, I'm walking into everywhere like, yo, dog, I died and I'm back alive, so I can't be fucked with. I can't be faded.
Right.
So what we gonna do?
You know, they ain't even got no red priest up there right now. So like, he died from right now, he might be gone for real.
Right.
So, although the Ravens have been on Wi-Fi, like the added bonus package this season. Them Ravens moving fast as fuck, dog. Like, last year, it used to take 2-3 episodes before you see a Raven. Mm-hmm. Now, Raven go off, they come back the next week, it's like, oh shit, you got mail. Oh, it's a Raven. Damn, Tyrion say we need to get down to the south.
They,
all right.
They got, they pay for the upgraded internet access.
Yeah. So, they like, oh, this that 4G. Okay.
Oh, shit.
The 4G Ravens. I ain't know
we
had
Wi-Fi. Y'all ain't tell me y'all right. Had Wi-Fi here.
They sending sex now. All kinds of shit.
Crayon drawings.
Right. Hey, big head. Oh, who Raven is this? So then, after they started hating, you know, he was like, listen, we need allies. I'm going to the south. Sansa was like, why don't you just send an emissary, you know, like Davos or somebody? And he was like, only a king can convince a queen to help us. And right. So she's going there. Danny wants him to come down to pledge loyalty. He's going down there to actually recruit her and her dragons and her dragon glass to help in the north. I'm assuming some type of bargain will be met, but I doubt any of them dragons coming. And he ain't gonna get none of that army. I doubt the Unsullied and shit, because she is focused on killing Cersei. So then Sansa was like, well, what the fuck gonna happen now? She was like, who you gonna leave in charge? And he was like, I already got somebody to leave in charge. You got the juice now.
All right, yeah, all right, I'm out.
And Sansa's face looked like, what now? Who in charge? And he was like, you.
Right, you always got something to say. You in charge.
Mm-hmm. And Sansa, but I will say this. At first she was shocked, which is another problem with him not telling her shit in advance. But then she got herself together before the end of that scene. Like, she was looking like, all right then. Like, let's do it.
But what is there for her to do, though? I mean, outside of this whole war situation, it's not like she's doing accounts receivable or receivables or anything like that for the town. Like, I mean, is she performing religious ceremonies or wedding? Like, what is...
Yeah, what are her duties? Oh, wait, did we lose the smart? Did y'all hear
me? I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what are her duties? I guess the only thing I could see happening is they get attacked at the wall where the wildlings are, and then Sansa gotta come up with something
and make a decision. Then what do you do? Right.
Then what do you do? Right. I can see, because I feel like something gotta happen. You know, unfortunately, it doesn't look like Arya made it back before Jon left. So maybe she can be there if Arya returns. But
yeah.
I just don't know what I mean. You know, they basically organizing already, and it was already underway. They showed kids training with weapons in the background. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, unless people start pulling away because they feel like she's a weaker leader, and they just be like, my house ain't doing shit, because we've seen how people did when Winterfell
that
fell.
That could be a problem.
Yeah. At any rate, so John went down to the crypt of the dead Starks, and he was looking at a statue of his dad, and Littlefinger just snuck up on him. And was like, you know, man, I actually had to carry your dad's bones back to Winterfell to get to Catelyn. You know, we both love Catelyn Stark. And you could see the camera the way it was. It was so beautifully shot, because they shot it on Jon's face as Littlefinger was talking to him. And Jon's face the whole time looked like me when strangers talk to me when I have headphones on. It's like, you really gonna keep talking, huh?
Yeah, you see these headphones on, right. You just determine you're gonna talk to
me. So I guess I gotta really pause what I'm listening to hear the weather and what you think about it. Okay. Right. So John just looking at the statue, not saying shit, and then he was like, you know, I know Caitlyn never was fond of you, she used to hate on you, but now look at you, you the man now, you the king of the north. Who would have thought you'd be the last hope, the bastard son of Ned Stark? And then he was, John stopped and looked at him and was like, you don't belong down here.
Right.
That's the second time his trespassing now, Jalen the scammer ass done slid down there. Last time it was to kiss Sansa.
Right.
So Littlefang was like, man, I just came to talk, dog. And John was like, I don't want to talk to your ass. And Littlefang was like, not even gonna thank me then. Which, you know, John was like, for what? And he was like, I brought the Knights of the Vale down here. I love Sansa, just like I loved your mama. And then John grabbed that nigga by his neck, threw him on the wall, said, don't you ever test me, never, not at all.
Yeah, he was just talking all greasy, like he was just gonna be okay with you saying that bullshit through his face.
I can't tell if it's that Littlefinger don't know how to talk to people, or if he purposely think, like, I just like getting choked and thrown up against walls, because he always end up in a conversation where somebody got smacked the shit out of his ass.
He likes manipulating people into anger. Mm. You know, he likes that. Like, that gets him off. He's really a horrible person. He's like, I don't even know who. I mean, I don't know. He's horrible.
You know, and you bring up a good point when you say he likes manipulating people to anger, because one thing about being angry, when you're angry, you don't think rational, you don't think logical, and you don't think strategically in that frame of mind. So a lot of times you will underestimate him and what he's doing in his plots. A lot of times not even pay his ass attention because you're so furious about the shit that he's saying to you.
Man, all I know is John choked that nigga and was like, my office hours off from 9 to 5.
Didn't I tell you?
Touch my sister and I kill you myself. And then he hit the road, which it was funny the way they filmed it, because he literally choked that nigga on the wall. The next scene they cut to him hopping on a horse with Davos and was like, bye Sansa, and just rode off. And I was like, damn. And then they show Littlefinger come out the tunnel and he like touching his neck like, oh shit, this nigga choked, he was good. Then it cuts to Sansa watching John walk off, and then it cuts to Baelish looking up at Sansa as she watches John walk off. And I'm just like, I hope Brienne is ready to kill this nigga, because I don't trust her up there by herself with Littlefinger.
Oh, Brienne gonna get him to be
that is like so gross. Like, what is the transitive property of vagina? Like, because he didn't get the mother's, he somehow, Sansa came out of that vagina, so by screwing her, he's getting the, like, that's just gross.
Yeah. Now that is Brienne gonna get into business, if her little sister show up, she will fuck him up. She gonna be looking like, and what you think you about to do?
He's definitely that creepy version of, the old man that tell you ask how your mama doing all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or you be like, why you keep asking my mama, motherfucker? You think I don't know what you doing? Yeah, tell your mama I said hi. Like, I ain't gonna tell her shit.
Like, I'll tell you, yeah, just so you leave me alone. But
I'm gonna tell my daddy you told me to tell my mama you said hi. And he'd be like, oh, no, don't do that.
Right.
Now. Come on, young blood.
He's also Mr. Ooh, you sure have grown up. He's that guy, too.
Yeah, you filling out over there.
Spin around. Let me, ooh, girl, look at you. Oh, creepy, come hug my neck, ass uncle, ass nigga.
Right.
But yeah, in the woods, Arya is making a fire and her horse gets spooked, and then some wolves roll up on her, and it's a whole ass pack of wolves, like, right. 20 wolves, like they was looking for Liam Neeson but rolled up on her instead.
I was like, Arya, these wolves about to fuck you up in the woods, dog.
And then finally a big ass, she pulls her sword out and a big ass wolf comes up behind her.
That damn wolf like a horse.
That's the biggest fucking wolf we've ever seen on this show, I'm convinced.
I was like, oh my god.
And it turns out it was a white wolf, and it was Nymeria.
Mm-hmm. He got away during the Red Wedding. I think Nymeria's
a she.
Okay.
And she, last time Arya saw Nymeria, she was telling Nymeria to leave her throwing rocks at her to keep her safe. And Arya put her sword down, was like, Nymeria, I'm going to the north. Everybody, John and them alive, come with me. And the other was looking like, well, what about us though? We don't know your family like that, which I don't know if those supposed to be her kids or what. But Nymeria was like, I can't leave my dogs like that, and dipped out. So she didn't eat Arya's face or the horse even, but she just
left. Y'all hear DMX playing in the background doing that? Because
Get at me, dog.
Yeah, because Arya looked like, I wouldn't expect you to go with me. Mm-hmm. Like, because you know what, Brienne said the same thing of what she do. She took her ass off like, nah, can't go with you.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, that was it for the North. King's Landing or the Citadel, Karen?
King's Landing.
King's Landing, the home of Cersei and the 53% haircut.
You right.
Cersei was telling a room full of noblemen, I think they were called like the Knights of the Reach or some shit, that if they don't join up with her, the Unsullied and the Dothraki was gonna take their brown asses through all the Westeros and burn down their castles and rape their women and take their jobs. Mm-hmm.
She got Donald Trump PR person, don't she?
She says, Danny gonna be just like her crazy ass daddy. She crucified hundreds of noblemen in Slaver's Bay for no reason.
And when she said that, I was like, that's why they told your fucking ass not to do that bullshit, Danny, because it was gonna come back to haunt you. They was like, don't kill these people. Yeah, they fucked up. Yeah, what they did was wrong, but you cannot be setting these examples because people will use that shit against you, and that's what Cersei did.
That's a good point. And I think we'll get into an ideological debate a bit later when we cover Cersei's kingdom, Dragonstone.
Okay.
But that is Danny. A good point. Danny's kingdom. She definitely lost the PR battle when it came to killing them slave owners. But as far as the PR battle went, Cersei said they were just noblemen. And she was like, she let them.
But Cersei would lie anyway.
Right.
Even if she didn't have the material. Like, Cersei is the, what's that lady's name who does reality shows?
Mona Scott Young?
Yeah, she's like the Mona Scott of stories. Like, she don't need footage, I mean, of something really, really happening. She can just slice pieces together and make up a story that people believe.
That's a good point. I mean, she was definitely using their economic anxiety against them.
Mm-hmm.
And they were feeding right into it. And so she was also like, she fed them noblemen to her dragons. And then she was like, and she's cruel just like her father. I'm like, Cersei got some nerve talking about some cruelty after she blew up the motherfucking Sept. The Sept just smoking in the background, and she up there like,
it still like ain't the fire ain't went out.
She like, this bitch is crazy. Do you not understand the length she will go to? Anyway, don't look over there at the people I burned alive, okay?
Right. Don't look at the people killing each other and robbing each other in the street because I fucked up everything around them.
So she was like, get down or lay down. And right? Lord Tarly, who is Samwell's father, who doesn't like Samwell, and was upset that he was fat, he was upset that he married a wildling, and he was upset that he shoplifted his motherfucking sword on the way out the door, and he liked his brother Dickon more than that, so he was like, anyway, he was up there with Cersei, and he was like, well, what about them three dragons, though? And then Qyburn was like, we working on a solution for the dragons. Don't worry about that, okay? We got customer service online.
Oh, they working hard.
Yeah.
To fix the situation for you, we expedited it up the ladder.
Tech support has...
We on it.
Yeah. Lord Tarly like, I like to speak to a manager. They're like, we'll get back to you on that, sir.
Have to put you on hold right now.
So then Lord, they was like, y'all dismissed. And then Lord Tarly was leaving because he needed to go back to the Reach to ready his army so they can fight. And... because the war is coming no matter what. And Jamie followed Tarly and thanked him for even coming. And Tarly was like, you know, I always come when my queen call. Plus, I heard Cersei be blowing niggas up. So, I mean.
Come on, I heard what happened when you don't show up.
Right. So then Jamie was like, by the way, since you're going to ready your army, which side y'all fighting on? And he didn't really answer. Tarly was just like, look, man, it's a long drive.
He was like, you wasting my time. I had to hit the road. Mm-hmm. I got a, 18-hour drive. I mean, come on, we got to get snacks, everything ready. You wasting my time.
Right. Jamie like, look, man, you beat Rob Baratheon in battle. You the only nigga that's ever did that. Not even the Mad King could do it. Fuck with us and I'll make you the ranking general in the wars to come. and we need to kill all the enemies. We need to kill the enemies of the crown, all her enemies. And then that's when Tali was like, okay, I'm picking up what you laying down. You saying we need to kill Lady Olenna? And Jaime was like, yeah, dog, I mean, all of them. And he was like, I can't do it, fam. She been my A1 from day one, Mac. Me and Lena go way back, man. Like, oh, four flat tires.
We two peas in the pod.
Like, you know, we came up from grade school together, everything. And Jaime was like, man, man, fuck her. She broken now. Now, he ain't mentioned that she broken because they killed her kids.
And her family.
Like, she just got broken. All of a sudden, she crazy. Come on, y'all killed her motherfucking family. He said if you down to make Westeros great again, or do you want to fight with them brown people and them Enix? Using that xenophobia against them.
Come on.
He said, also, if you kill her, I'll make you warden of the South when the war is won. And they didn't show him accept or not, but he was definitely thinking about it, and they cut away. And last scene.
So wait, I wouldn't be surprised if Samwell's dad sent a raven to Lady O, because he's clearly stated his loyalty is there. And Lady O is obviously smart. Going back to your earlier point, Rod, she the oldest female we've seen at all on this show. So she's doing something right.
Not listening to clever men, as she said. Yeah, so what do y'all think he's going to do? Karen, do you think Tarly is going to be down with Jaime and them, or you think he's going to join up with Danny and them?
I think that was like a catch 22. I think he's going to send her a raven, but like, hey, dog, this is what's up. If something happened, you know, I want you to go ahead and get out of town. I think he's going to warn her. I think he might stay with Cersei and them just so he personally don't get fucked up and have her turn against them. I think he's going to stay with Cersei just because I don't think he wants them problems. I think he's going to warn Lady Olenna and keep her kind of ahead of what's happening. And I think he might get in trouble for that, but I don't think he's going to go with Danny because he's like, what I'm not going to do is deal with them brown people.
What about you, Ms. Smart?
I just feel like at some point Tarly and Samwell are going to come face to face on opposite sides. So Samwell is obviously going to align himself with Jon, used to be Snow. And I think his father has to be on the other side. That's the only way it works out where they can come, you know, head to head. And I'm okay with that. I want Sam to go ahead and shank him real good.
I think he will with that sword.
I think he is, because he's been set up as kind of a dick in the past, I'm going to say he betrays Lady Olenna. He joins up with Cersei and them. Maybe even kills Lady Olenna.
He might.
Like have his people do it or something. Because I do think he was intrigued by the power offer, because it's going to be Warden of the South. It's a come up. Two, the way he felt about the Wildlands, I feel like that shit would apply to the Unsullied and the Dothraki, and possibly even the Dornish. Like, he felt racist to me.
Yeah, like they're less than.
He didn't even like a Wildling. The Wildling was a white woman. He still was like, ugh, she the wrong kind of white, you know?
Come on, she that redneck.
I feel like he wouldn't group up with the brown people, so that's my guess. I don't know, though. I don't read the books and all that shit. This is all us talking, okay, guys? Calm down. All right, so then Cersei and Qyburn go to the basement of the castle, and they have a big-ass dragon skull down there.
I mean, that's the biggest dragon head I've ever seen.
Yeah, and Qyburn introduced her to a spear gun because he said at the marine pit, they found out that some of them spears did pierce Drogon's skin.
His internet be everywhere because I was
at his birdies.
Yeah, somebody told him what happened. Because I was like, how the fuck would he know that none of them was dead? And I was like, oh yeah, somebody told him.
So he was like, let's take this spear. We got a gun that shoots spears now. And they shot the spear through the old skull of the dragon. This dragon skull that apparently Rob had killed or some shit a long time ago. And it went right through the skull. Now, it is an old-ass skull, so who knows if that's what it would do to one of these dragons. Also, right. It wasn't moving or shooting fire.
Right.
Now, here's the thing I will say, though. It's weird that everybody was acting like dragons was so like the cheat code when they done killed dragons before, apparently. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, because they just have a lot more dragons.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting. But anyway, that was the last scene we get in King's Landing. So that leaves the Citadel, okay, and then we'll do Dragonstone. In the Citadel, where my man Samwell is, you know, working 9 to 5. Jorah, well, they was
he
in Jorah.
He looked like he in medical school.
Right. I just feel like every time we should get a montage of him just cleaning up shit. Jorah's getting his rock aids looked at by Maester Ebros, and Samwell was interning.
Right.
And Maester Ebros is like, yeah, dawg, you gonna die, cuz
I don't know what to tell you, dawg.
You got about 6 months before you out here.
Go ahead and write your living will and testament.
Yeah, and Jorah was like, how long till I lose my mind? Because we saw those rock men, and that was a question I had last week, and I'm glad they answered it. We saw those rock men, and I forget exactly where we were, Valeria or some shit, but
when him and Tyrion was going through that,
Tyrion was, yeah, and we saw that they were crazy. They were like rabid. They had, you know, mm-hmm. they couldn't help themselves. And I was like, why isn't he that way? And he basically told him, you got 6 months or less before you out here on that what's a man bullshit. So Sam was like, but hold up, what about Shireen? I seen Shireen, she got cured of the grayscale, and she was Stannis's daughter, so can't you do some shit like that? And Ebros was like, does this shit look the same to you? He is a grown ass man. His whole motherfucking chest is covered in scales.
Be like, that was a kid. Do he look like a kid?
Right. This man's entire body looked like Usher's penis. And you sitting up here talking about, can he be cured? Of course he can't be cured. And then he told go ahead.
This is what I think. And you know, my medical knowledge is really based on General Hospital and ER. I think that whatever that disease is like syphilis, because syphilis will drive you crazy, / psoriasis, like some extreme version of psoriasis. And really, I mean, if he just had some shea butter and some penicillin, you know, I feel like, you know, he would be okay.
Justin.
They just don't care enough about him. Like, he's not a white woman.
I honestly think that he just listened to too much, Umar Johnson, and it just turned him like that. Event like the more like he was, they don't show behind the scenes when he was on the internet harassing black feminists and shit, and it just all the moisture just keep coming out of his skin. They never show that part, but that's what I think happened to him. At any rate, Ebros was like, listen, normally I just send a nigga like you packing and ship your ass to them lizard men and let you loose, but I'm gonna go ahead and let you stay one more night because you're an anointed knight. And
yeah, I'm not gonna disrespect your name.
I'm not gonna tell you what to do, but wink, wink, he looked over at Jorah's sword like, if you wanna kill yourself, you know, that is covered under Trump care.
Yeah, it is.
So Sam finds out that Jorah is a Mormont because he was like, you want me to write your family? He said, what's your name? He's like, Jorah. And he's like, Mormont. And Sam recognized that name, but at least you could tell on his face, but he didn't acknowledge that he recognized the name at the time. And Jorah was like, I'm estranged from my family. There's no need to send word to them because they basically disown me, because Jorah got caught slanging them slaves a long time ago. So,
and not to mention, Lady Mormont would be like, she would get that from the Raven and look at that shit and be like, I don't know that nigga. I don't know him.
Right.
Return Jacinda.
I don't know her. Mm-hmm. I don't know her. So in the library, or library, as Karen said.
Yes.
There was an archmaester who was telling Samwell about how you need to write with style because don't nobody want to read that shit. If you just write the facts, and it's important to be better than just at research, but you got to have a writing style. And I'm like, nigga, we seen the inside of y'all books. Y'all be drawing and coloring in pictures too. Stop with the bullshit, bruh. This ain't high art. So then Sam was like, anyway, I read in a book that we could cure Jorah. And the dude said, the Maester was like, nah, dog, you can't do them forbidden procedures because they don't really work. You know how the dude that wrote the book on how to cure grayscale died? Grayscale. And George, so then Sam was like, all right then. But then later in George's chambers, he was writing a letter to the Khaleesi before killing himself, possibly, because he looked at his sword, and I'm assuming he was probably gonna kill himself when he got done. Mm-hmm. But you know, he was just in there listening to the Simp and Saturday mix. As soon as I get home from work. Yes. he's in that crying and shit. He heard a cart roll up, and it was it was Sam with a bunch of like essential oils and shea butter on the cart,
right,
with some tools. And it was interesting because I thought to myself, why the fuck weren't they using this cart in the library? Because they made Sam carry all the motherfucking books by himself.
By hand. They were stacking them too.
Nigga, you have a whole fucking cart right here. Just let me put the books on the cart at least. You just fussing at me while I'm holding 17 pounds of books.
The cart was busy with someone who was a med school level two person. So you don't get the cart until you make it up to two.
Right.
So
library interns don't get the cart. Mm-mm. Work on your back.
Right.
Sam says, I know your dad, Gior, from the time that I was in the Night Watch. And Gior Momont was the dude that I think John had to kill in order to infiltrate the Wildlands. And he said, I read a book, and I'm going to kill your grayscale. Now, drink this rum, all of it.
All of it, dog.
And I'm about to take the alkaline out your diet. And Sam had put on some gloves, and he pulled out some metal tools and went to work on Jor after giving him a leather stripe to bite down on. Ooh. And I'll say this. One, if this is the cure, why the fuck were we acting like it's so incurable? You know what I mean? Because this cure seemed like the first thing you would do if you had grayscale. Peel off the infected skin and put some salve on the shit that's good, you know? Like, now we're at an accelerated place, but the other dude at the beginning was like, just cut your arm off. You should have cut your arm off as soon as you got bit. I'm like, well, if you can just put some fucking salve on it, then why would I do that? I'll just bite it, cut off the infected skin, and put this solution on it.
Because most people are not going to do that. Most people are not going to carve at their skin. Most people, family members aren't going to carve at their skin.
If it's this or die,
you will be amazed. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people.
I would not be amazed.
Yeah, a lot of people go like,
I feel like this cure, they should have wrote something better. Unless it's not going to work. I would be okay if it doesn't work as well. But this cure doesn't seem that dangerous that they shouldn't even try it.
People would do this. And let me tell you how I know people would do this. Because slaves ate chitlins.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. It. I mean, you know, you do what you got to do.
You do what you got to do, Karen.
And I don't know if it was something where, because of this method, if it chips or if it got into his eye or something. He was like, you can't be out here doing this because you have to be careful. But you know, you don't touch it. So, you know, because you're peeling. So, you know, you liable to touch it. And then, you know, you got shit too.
That's like if you had sunburn, though, and you was just like, I'm not even going to try nothing. Are you going to try something? It hurt, you know? I don't know.
Does it hurt?
Meanwhile,
it spread like a disease, so
just it definitely hurts, because when he turned to open the door, he grabbed his chest.
Okay.
So it definitely hurts. Meanwhile, Sam's reading this book that he stole from the library from the porn section, and reading it with his finger and shit. And he's not
What's
supposed to have this book.
Of this, a book?
Oh, listen, I don't know what you mean, Miss Massa.
Ninny, so help me, if this is anything more than a cookbook, there will be consequences. The footless kind.
No, bitch, let the bitch read.
That's how I felt. Because he was reading with his finger and everything. Like, he was barely reading that book.
He had no bookmark or nothing. He did not come prepared.
Right.
He was on the dark web going, now how do you use this shit out here?
The book got pictures and everything. But at any rate, he was slicing off that skin like it was char on a steak.
Oh,
it looked so gross. Oh, it was so gross. And Joy was in obvious pain, but he was like, keep going. And you know,
he was like, have you done this before? He was like, nope. But right. I'm your only chance. Now, like, nobody else is even attempting to try.
Right.
Because your sentence is death anyway. Either let me try this and you liable to still die, but at least we tried something, mm-hmm. than to just let you sit here and die.
And he was leaking like,
okay, wait. Mm-hmm. I got something controversial to say.
Oh hell, here
so,
we go.
Qui-Burn, that's his name, like Qui-Burn.
Mm-hmm.
He made the thing that guards Cersei. And he also made the gun for the dragon. So I feel like, given the time and the proper tools, that he could come up with something that would cure Jorah. You know, I feel like he's the person we should really be going to for the cure.
I don't feel like that's controversial. I just feel like, okay, we too late.
It would morph into something else.
By the time he get down there, he gonna be mostly lizard. So
yeah, I got a feeling
he made his decision early, decided to go to the Citadel, and he gonna have to live with that. And plus, I also feel like Qui-Burn cures be like, the side effects be worse than the disease.
Right,
so
I'm about to say, your skin will pop off, but you'll turn to bane. Like, it'll be right. Some shit like that.
You're like, listen, now you gonna have to put your balls in this sack forever for the rest of your life, but other than that,
you good,
you gonna
y'all.
Be pretty straight, bro. I mean, now you gonna have to cover your face, because the what we've done to get this off of your skin is gonna actually make it look worse, but you will feel much better, so don't worry about that. You know, I just don't trust him until mm-hmm. I see the mountain without his helmet on. I feel like, you know, I understand if you don't go to Qui-Burn.
Who knows what the mountain looks like?
Yeah, Qui-Burn,
I've never had balls, so I feel like it's worth the risk.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Y'all don't understand the pain.
No, I don't have balls. You're right. Talking to two ballless and sackless ladies true. Over here.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't trust Qui-Burn, though. I mean, just because that nigga's he's just a nefarious ass nigga. I don't know.
Yeah, end up turning you to another fucking creature.
He's so creepy. That's a good, by the way, that dude's a good ass actor, because he made me feel creeped out
every time I see him.
Right. So he was leaking the juice and shit, and then they had one of the best cut scenes ever in the history mm-hmm. of Game of Thrones, because then they cut to somebody using a fork or a spoon to chop into a pot pie that looked like Jorah's skin, and it was so gross.
Yes, I was like, oh my god, how are you eating that?
All right, last set piece, Dragonstone. This actually kind of started the show. There was storming outside with Dragonstone, and I wonder if this is supposed to be like the winter is coming theme, because it wasn't snowing, but it was definitely storming. So I don't know, maybe the south is gonna eventually get this winter too, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Dany was in her war room with Tyrion and Varys, and Grey Worm was there too, and Tyrion was like, you know, you were born on a night like this, a stormy night. And Varys was like, yeah, that's what they say. And she like, yeah, I don't remember, you know, I don't even really remember this home, because I was forced from it. And Varys told her that the people ain't really fucking with Cersei on the low, and they want her to come through and crush the building, so her revolution, you know, they can't wait. And Danny was like, that's the same shit y'all told my brother, and he dead. Like, they secretly toasting me, and they can't wait for the real queen to come back. She like, you know, that nigga stupid, and he believed that shit, and he got killed. Now, I feel like her brother really got killed, because he kept fucking with Khal Drogo till he poured that gold on him. But neither here nor there. She also noted that her brother would have tried to conquer Westeros if he had three dragons and the Unsullied and the Dothraki already. And Tyrion was like, you can't just take Westeros. You shouldn't do it that way. Because niggas ain't going to be feeling you if you come through with an army of people that's not Westerosi and burn down everything and take over everything.
No, people not going to unite.
Right. And Danny will ask Varys about, you know, how he could be loyal to her after he betrayed her father. And before that, he had betrayed King Rob. So he was like, I did betray him, but, you know, I betrayed your daddy to get Rob, and Rob was a better king than your daddy. He just didn't care about being king, but that's still better than your crazy ass daddy. And Tyrion tried to step in and be like, nah, you can trust me, loyal. And then Danny was like, nah, let the little nigga speak. don't stall him out. You was gonna support my trifling ass brother too, right? And he was like, yeah. And she was like, well, you know, my brother was a coward and vain and sniveling and abusive. You think that make a good king? And he was like, I mean, I think it make a better king than Rob at the time or whatever. And she was like, what kind of servant are you? Like, why shouldn't I kill you? And Vera's like, I'm the kind of person that does what it takes to serve the people, and I won't give you blind allegiance. And, you know, if that's what you want, then you might as well kill me and feed me to the dragons, or let Grey Worm cut my head off. But I choose you, baby. I want to be with you. Let you be my queen. And she was like, well, what about when you had my brother assassinated? Who did that? And he was like, Rob ordered this assassination. She was like, who hired the assassin? Who paid the assassin? And he was like, I mean, you know, niggas gotta pay the assassin. I mean, so you bringing up all this old shit, you know? And it was funny because she was like, so what was supposed to happen to me? He was like, nigga, I didn't even know about you. Like, all I had heard was you look good, and that was it. Like, he was like, you turned this shit into your advantage. So, I mean, I turned shit to my advantage. It's like, we should really link up. And then she basically told him, listen, if you ever think I'm failing the people, don't go behind my back and betray me. Just tell me straight up to my face. And I'll listen. But if I ever find out you betrayed me, I will burn your ass alive. And he was like, fair enough. So she didn't kill his ass, but I thought he might have got toasted for a second. Wow. Then,
yeah, Tyrion looked worried. He was like, please, like, don't.
Because Varys is Tyrion's dog. Right. Varys shipped Tyrion out of King's Landing. They go way back.
Right. You know, like, he's the only reason why I'm alive, dog. Like, I was literally drinking myself to death in a box.
Right. When he got kidnapped by Jorah, that's the only time that Varys didn't really know what that nigga was, but then mm-hmm. Varys still ended up showing up on his side. So, like, you know, he didn't want to see Varys get killed, but, you know, Dany had that look in her eyes for a second. So then we end up with Melisandre showing up. Somebody came in and was like, oh, you got a visitor from a Red Witch priest. And Dany went out and met Melisandre. She was like, I used to be a slave. It's the honor to meet the Harriet Tubman of Westeros, the breaker of chains. Refresh real quick, Miss Smart. Your signal broke up a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, just refresh. You'll come right back. It happens, guys. It'll be fine.
Yeah, because I was like, how the hell she make it down there? She got on that horse and she rode for her life.
She rode all the way to the south on horseback by herself.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, she really like 197 years old. You know, she rode all the way back on her own. You know,
all by herself. She let that nigga die and was like, y'all know what? I'm out. No, John banished her. That's right. John.
Yeah,
like,
he banished her from the north.
Bitch, get the fuck out of here.
I think he was like, if I ever see you again, I'm going to kill your ass.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up, you know, going down to the south to meet Dany and shit. And Dany, you know, was like, you know, so basically, I'm cool with Red Priest because y'all brought peace to Meereen, because remember the Red Priests were part of how she spread allegiance to her, you know. And she Melisandre was like, oh yeah, plus I fucked Stannis on that table, so you know, good times.
Ah!
That's where the pussy poltergeist was born, right there on your war room.
Aww.
And Melisandre said, she said her name for the first time, and Varys heard it and was like, hold up now, you know, she used to serve Stannis. That was a different king. And Dany was like, well, isn't she lucky because we forgiven traitors today for serving the wrong king? I just freshly forgave your ass, and here you are telling me not to give her a chance. And then Varys is like, that's a good point. And so Melisandre basically said she wanted Dany because she felt that, and she said it in like some other language and was like, only the prince who was promised can bring the dawn. And then Dany was like, I ain't no boy, I ain't no prince, so the fuck can your prophecy do for me? And Missandei corrected her, was like, actually in that language it doesn't have like a gender to it, so it could be prince or princess, so it means boy or girl. And Tyrion was like, well, that doesn't roll off the tongue. And then Dany was like, well, I like that better. because I'm the chosen one. And Melisandre was like, yeah, you might be, but also Jon Snow might be the chosen one, and you need to summon him and get his loyalty, because that's my nigga, he cool, and he hate the Lannisters too. And Tyrion was like, that's true, I agree, he does hate the Lannisters and he cool. Which is interesting, because honestly, Jon Snow banished her from the North. Her first thing was, how do I get back in Jon Snow's
good graces
and presence and all this shit? She goes all the way to find Dany, essentially just to get Jon Snow back, because I think she still believes Jon Snow is the chosen one.
Yeah, because they're talking about prophecy. She was like, look, I love, that's kind of tricky. I done fucked up and killed a kid or two about the prophecy. I'm not going to tell you, we ain't going to talk about the prophecy, because I think that broke her. So she was like, what I am going to do is just tell you what I know.
Yeah, and Dany was like,
yeah, I think she's covering her bases, though.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
She's covering her bases just in case Jon Snow isn't the one. She's got the backup of Dany.
That's true. Right. So then later on, Dany says, in that same scene, Dany says, summon Jon Snow and tell him to bow the knee, to bend the knee. And then a conference meeting in the war room later, Dany is listening to a council, and it's Ilaria, Theon, Yara, Olenna, Grey Worm, Tyrion, and Varys. Now, if you guys understand, you've been listening to the show for a while, you've been watching the show, you know a lot of them niggas don't even fuck with each other, but they got to for today. And Yara was like, take the motherfucking throne, queen. Don't worry about this optic shit. It's a motherfucking war. Go in there and take that shit.
It's war time.
And Ilaria saying was agreeing. She like, it's war. Who gives a fuck how you take the throne? What it look like? You got the dragons. You got the troops. Go get that shit.
Not realizing that's what the fuck Cersei did. And it's a hot fucking mess. It's a mess down there.
Right. And Tyrion was like, yeah, don't listen to Ilaria. She be poisoning little girls. They don't got shit to do with shit, because she poisoned his niece.
Right.
And Ilaria was like, and?
She gave zero fucks. She's and? Like, I'll do it again.
She was a Lannister one. She, Myrcella, deserved to die, and I hope she rots in hell.
Right?
And she like, my only regret is that Oberyn died fighting for your ass. And
he was like, bitch, I didn't ask him to. He made that choice on his own.
Well, Daniel said, you gonna respect the hand of the king, the queen. So you need to calm the fuck down, Ilaria. And Ilaria was looking like, I wish I had some motherfucking poison flowers. I put them in all y'all tea and take this shit over myself.
Right?
And Dany was like, look, Tyrion got a point. I want to be queen, but I don't want to be queen of the ashes. I don't want to burn half the country just so I can go and take the throne.
That's the shit her daddy did.
Right. And Lady Olenna was like, oh, you worried about being liked. Margaery was well liked, and she got blown up in the Sept.
Right.
So that, like I said, philosophically, when we talked earlier, we brought up Margaery. And I was like, that's a good point, because I never really thought about that before, because I always kind of considered that Margaery was a master at playing the game as well. But yeah, the people adoring you don't got shit to do with whether or not you get dead.
They loved her and praised her.
And I think she underestimated Cersei too.
Yeah,
and then she also became a grown-up and didn't listen to her grandma.
Yeah, I think Margaery thought, if the people pick me, you can never dethrone me because the people will love me. But she didn't realize that that don't mean shit to a motherfucking person like Cersei. So like, possession is 9/10 of the law to Cersei. So it's like, I got the crown, now what, bitch? You know, you dead, now the people can love you in death. I don't give a fuck. I got the crown. So yeah, I just thought it was interesting strategies. Do y'all think Dany is fucking up by trying to do it the route that'll get the people to support her, or do y'all think she should just go in there and burn shit to the ground and take over what's left?
That's a hard one. Like, to an extent I understand, because the thing about fear only lasts so long. You know, and it's one of these things where, okay, they're gonna fear you, but after a while people might turn against you. Like, you, both ways it go bad. You could be loved and people turn against you, and you can do this fear tactic and people turn against you. Azar, when she was talking to Lady Olenna, she brought up a good point. She was like, bitch, ain't no such thing as peace. It's always gonna be war. But it's one of those things where I understand the tactic, because it's one of the things where word spread, word gets out, you know, you end up making more enemies when people hear you just came in and crushed the buildings.
What do you think, Ms. Smart?
Yeah, I think she would have done better moving in silence and doing like a sneak attack instead of like, you know, sending her reputation forward. Because again, you know, like Qui-Burn is already, you know, building something to kill the dragons. Other people probably are pulling their armies together, and that's not how you do. And the thing is, if she's got to fight all these different battles, she's going to deplete her own army, and it's going to be harder for her to win going forward. And she has to decimate every single person or every single family or house that she is going against, because like what happened in the previous episode, Arya said, you know, you don't leave anybody alive, because right. If you leave anybody alive, they're coming for you.
Okay. Yeah. You leave one wolf alive, the sheep are never safe.
Right. And it's also one of the things too, Tyrion brought up, he was like, dog, you go in there crushing the buildings, think of the hundreds of thousands of people that's gonna die, people that you actually could put on your support, soldiers that you could actually get to support you. You literally are killing your own support group by just going in there crushing the buildings.
Yeah, it's a good philosophical argument. I don't really have a side, to be honest. I see a lot of I just think it was interesting, this conversation, because all of the women except for Dany, who was just listening to Tyrion, everybody, all the women in the room were like, just take that shit. Like, the men were the ones being like, you need to plot and strategize and figure out this shit, and the women were like, just take the shit. Olenna, Ilaria, and Yara.
Yeah, and I think also, they just want her off the throne.
See, I think it's deeper than that, because Yara ain't really got a dog in the fight like that.
Correct.
I just think all of them know about season power, and power, like, when you have it, it's, you know, once you have it, it's yours. All of them seized power. Yara took the ships and dipped.
Killed
Ilaria, killed the Marcella, and killed the dude that was Freaky Prince's brother. And then, you know, Olenna just said she don't even listen to these niggas, she just do what she want to do,
right?
So
I think, like, it was one great Sean Combs, former Bison, who said, take that.
That's true.
And yeah, they listened, they heard the call.
Yeah, basically Tyrion says, look, man, we don't need to just rush in and burn shit up. And then, Dany was like, we're gonna use the Dornish and the Tyrell troops, who are Westerosi, to surround King's Landing, to create an embargo and basically starve the kingdom out. So they won't have the ability to get money, food, anything that will help them live a comfortable life, and they just gonna wait Cersei out till she has to step off the throne.
I hope y'all don't think she's stepping out. She wouldn't give a damn.
Yeah, also, you know, I think this plan turns, it basically operates on, like, either someone killing Cersei within the throne so that, you know.
Yeah, the people just turning on her.
Right. But at any rate, in order to do that, Tyrion said Yara and Theon are gonna have to go take the Sand Snakes and Ilaria back to Dorne, get the Dornish troops, go to King's Landing. Also, Lady Tyrell's gonna have to go back to Casterly Rock or wherever she's from, get her troops, and they gonna have to go and combine and starve out King's Landing. Meanwhile, because Olenna was like, so basically you just gonna use our troops to do what the fuck y'all say y'all gonna do? Like, what the fuck is that? And he's like, Tyrion's like, no, we gonna actually use the Unsullied to take Casterly Rock. So once we do that, that's where the Lannister seat of power is. I guess Casterly Rock is like their Winterfell. So people are, remember how the whole North fell apart once Winterfell fell? Like, people was like, oh, well, fuck the Starks. I do what I want to do. This is about my family. I guess they're assuming that's what's holding everybody together in the South is the Casterly Rock. So then everyone agreed to the plan, and Danny was like, let me speak to Lady Olenna alone, and she promised to kill Cersei and then they could have peace. And Olenna was like, ain't no peace, bitch. Tyrion is clever and that's cool, you got a clever man, but I done outlived a lot of clever men by ignoring niggas. Ignore this nigga. You ain't a sheep, you a dragon. Be a dragon. And so that's the third woman in this discussion that has essentially said fuck trying to win the political the public relations of this Paul, war.
You can fix it on the backside,
right? Just kill, get the fucking seat and then worry about what niggas think. So then in Grey Worm's chambers, Masan Bey came in to ask him why he ain't come tell her goodbye since he was about to leave to go attack Casterly Rock.
She was like, you nigga, you leaving, you ain't even tell me. And I ain't getting no texts, I ain't getting no hey girl, you hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, I ain't getting no Bemoji, what's happening?
He was like, look, it's difficult to tell you bye, because she was basically like, well fine then nigga, I'm leaving.
You know, I have a nice trip,
right? You don't want to tell me why you gotta leave, then fuck it, so I'm leaving. Fuck you then.
And I thought you said you didn't want him back. Bitch, of course I want my man back. What the fuck? I was lying.
And then she turned around. Because she was lying. She did. She absolutely did want that nigga to tell her. And he was like, yeah, so you my weakness. And she like, what the fuck that mean? You trying to say I make you weak, nigga? And he said, in the Unsullied culture or whatever, the masters basically will find out what you was afraid of. And if you was afraid of dogs, they make you sleep in a pit with the dogs. If you was afraid of water, they throw you in some water. Like, he said he didn't have no weaknesses. He wasn't afraid of shit. He was the bravest Unsullied. That's why he ended up being the leader. And he said this is the first time that he ever really felt fear, because once he met her fine ass, he became scared to lose her.
Right.
And then they kissed, and he kissed her, and then sploosh. It was just water everywhere. And then she took them clothes off. And let me tell you something. She ain't even had no drawers on, y'all.
She fine.
That's how you know it was real. Like, she came to the room to fuck. So she ain't had no drawers on or nothing. And she just was like, look at all this fineness just sitting on the screen. And she was like,
she basically said, nigga, you was gonna walk away with this without even a raven?
Come on. And she was like, why don't you finger bang my supple cakes to smithereens? And she took off his clothes, and then he told her to stop at the pants because, you know, his penis is cut off because he is an Unsullied. And she was like, you think I care about that? Pull that little broke penis out and let me love you down. You know,
yeah. She looked at him like, but that mouth ain't broke though. What that mouth,
right?
Do?
What that mouth do though? You know, like, which is interesting because I feel like only women can do that. like they be like, I ain't disgusted. I'm about to take care of this. I'm like, damn, that's love. But then they got in the bed and they made some very light skin, red bone sex. I'm sure he scissored them cakes all the way down. Once they started making sweet holly yellow love, she pushed his head down and he started eating that thing like Russell Wilson when he was dating Ciara for that year and they weren't having sex. Aww. And I'm sure they did some freaky things that night. And let me just tell you, I've done the research, and after 75 times viewing that scene, I have to give it to Masandi for best new scene in HBO history. And that's that usurps Alexandra Daddario in True Blood season 2. Gotta give it to Masandi. So then on the boat back to Dorne, Yara and Theon's boat, the Sand Snakes are talking about who they gonna kill when they get to King's Landing. And Ilaria, and by the way, they was just like talking shit. Like, and the thing is, two of the girls are Oberyn's all of their fathers, but only one of them is the daughter of Ilaria.
Okay.
Okay, that's why they were talking that way. Because Obera and the other one with the whip was basically like, I'ma kill Cersei. And it's like, you know mama gonna kill Cersei. You know Ilaria gonna kill Cersei. And they was like, oh yeah, your mama gotta kill Cersei, whatever. And then she was like, the other one's like, well, I'ma kill the mountain. She was like, bitch, you can't kill the mountain, he killed dad. And that nigga, she was like, yeah, well, dad was just gloating, that's what mama said. And they like, why you keep bringing up your damn mama? You know, we don't really, she ain't our mama, you a mama's girl. And they was mama making jokes. Mm-hmm. And then in the I guess galley or whatever, Ilaria was sitting with Yara and Theon, and Ilaria was like, this beer from the Iron Isles tastes like piss. And Yara was like, well, we get to Dorne, I'm gonna give y'all some real Dornish wine, which is the second time in the episode that I brought up that Dornish wine.
That shit must be lit.
It must be as good as this wine from TriangleWineCo.com.
Come on.
For the Negro palate.
10% off. What?
Yes, that rose wine.
10% yes. off with that rose wine to TBGWT. Get you some. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she, Ilaria was like, yeah, well, this beer is some trash. And then Yara was like, yeah, I've been to Dorne a couple times. And Ilaria was like, what, you got a different boy in every port? And she was like, boys, girls, depend on the port.
Come on.
I'll be fucking the men's and the women's.
Oh, she was like, hey, I'm bi. You bi too?
And then Theon got up and walked away because he was like, I don't have enough penis left to be listening to this discussion.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
But he also walked away because he knows how effective Yara is.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen her work.
Right. And she's about to see what them stank holes do.
Oh.
That's right, mm-hmm. Karen.
Hey, you. What them stank holes do? Heart emoji.
This nigga.
Exactly.
Heart emoji.
That's exactly how that scene went down. Because Theon looked like, God damn it. I don't want to see what these stank holes do. And Lara's like, why you up? Why don't you get me some beer? And what's your job here? You a servant? He was like, I'm a brother. And she was like, oh, so what's your job in the new kingdom? He's like, whatever my queen tells me to do. And then she was like, Yara was like, well, you know, he here for my security. And Lara's like, so if somebody get all up on you like this and start kissing on you, he gonna step in and make sure that I do something. So Ilaria was like, listen, I'm trying to fuck you and your brother. Now she don't know Theon ain't got no penis.
Right.
Although I don't think Ilaria would be deterred. She would find a way to fuck that man. Okay. She would see what his stank holes do.
Come on, cause her and Oberyn, they was like orgy popping every weekend. Who down?
Right. Mm-hmm. So then right when that shit was about to happen, they get attacked.
Yeah, all of a sudden it was a crash. I was like, what the fuck? What the fuck is this?
They go outside and this motherfucking Euron Greyjoy with a fleet of big Pirates of the Caribbean ass ships.
Come on!
And this nigga, like, they rammed the ship. Then he had, like, this plank thing. I don't even know what you call it. That lowered down onto the ship and he was on it with an axe. The thing landed on the ship and crushed the nigga. Then
took him out.
Then he hopped off with the axe, chopped the nigga in the motherfucking chest and started laughing. Like that was a good ass fight, man. I ain't know Euron had it like that, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's
but there. Euron is. I feel like that's overkill. Like Euron got to do like that extra three steps. Like he could have easily just surrounded them and just shot them. Mm-hmm. Here he come with a transportable drawbridge. Here he come with an axe. I mean, just too much.
You know what? That's what I liked about him. I haven't seen a dude that turned me into a fan like that since Stannis when he hit King's Landing and was giving them niggas their LeBron triple double. I was like, damn, this nigga can fight. Like, I didn't think Euron could really fight. Cause remember, they've been making this whole thing about like, Jaime went there and killed all them Greyjoys, and the Greyjoys are small, angry people, and they can't never take shit over.
New session.
I'm about to. Yeah, they can't take shit over and they only fight on the seas. They can't fight on land. And I was like, you know what? Maybe it's just all overrated. Nigga. he showed up with that axe and was giving them that work,
and he was covered in blood. And the thing about
how you gonna say new session and then just
go ahead
Karen really was like, new session, oh, my turn to talk, fuck a new session.
You can change us over, my
all right
bad.
I'm about to go to the new session, we'll be right back, guys. Coming right back on the air, sorry. I guess the people hearing this later can hear it, unless you want to wait for us to be live again.
It don't matter. Yeah, I can wait for us to be live again.
All right, give me 1 second in, everybody. Let's see, we'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Am I even still on screen?
Yes, you are.
What the hell, why is this taking so long?
Mm-hmm. We see you moving.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me see. Oh, that's why I gotta hit leave. There we go. Be right back, guys. Okay, Jesus Christ, what's happening?
I don't know. We still see you.
Yeah, it's gonna end in a second without me even being able to go over. Come on, Chrome. Oh, Jesus.
You're having all the technical difficulties.
I see it now. It's finally moved me over. Jesus Christ, that took forever. All right, call the audience.
Okay,
prepare to go live and put myself back on screen and going live, and I will add you and Miss Smart back.
Okay,
you're added back, and
yes,
Miss Smart, adding her back too. All right, cool. So we should get everybody back on screen in a second. All right, cool. Everybody's back. Karen, what did you want to say?
I said the thing about him, like, his thing, it was like, look, dog, y'all on my territory. He was like, the ocean is my shit. It was one of these things. He was like, I'm legendary in these ocean streets. Ask about me, nigga. We've been going around wrecking shop forever, and I think that's how they found them so quick. Cause I was like, how the fuck did they find them so goddamn quick? But, you know, it's kind of he's kind of legendary for being batshit crazy, which just, a lot of this proved. I know you don't go on, but a lot of this proved batshit crazy and just losing his mind out there at sea. Cause you know, they've kind of talked about him being out at sea, losing his mind. He talked about him getting banished, you know, and I think that, like you say, I didn't know what was the big thing, but this actually, him being over the top, proved that he was batshit insane. And proved that, okay, he really ain't nothing to fuck with. And it also showed why the fuck they ran. You know, because they was like, oh, nigga, we ain't got time for this. And they ran. You go, I understand now why the fuck y'all ran, because he'd have killed y'all.
You know, one thing I will give him props for is he delivered.
Yes,
like,
he did.
He showed up and was killing niggas and talking that shit and laughing. And, you know, I've been kind of waiting for Euron to show what was so special about him. He said it was the baddest man in the ocean, and the nigga looked right to me.
Mm-hmm. All his boats had all the ghosts that Johnny Depp's ship should have had.
Yep.
See, I don't think he's crazy. I don't think he's crazy at all. I just think he's a big personality prone to histrionics. That's it.
Okay. I don't know if he's crazy or not. I just know that the nigga was really enjoying killing them niggas. Like, he had a time.
Yeah, he told Jamie that him slicing his folks up was like a work of art. He was like, nigga, I would have joined you if I could have.
Yeah. He's like, I don't like the Greyjoys either. They kicked me out the shit. Theon and Yara were kind of holding their own, and then the Sand Snakes ended up fighting Euron, and he killed two of them, Obara and the one with the whip.
Mm-hmm.
which he killed them pretty brutal too.
Oh yeah, they took that L. And I think one down thing I gotta say about them chicks, they got hyped for nothing. Because I remember prior to them coming, they kept talking about them and how big and bad they were and what they could do. And you was like, I ain't even see y'all do shit.
You know what, though? That's the book reader's fault.
Okay.
Because the show didn't hype them that way.
Ah, correct.
But the book readers were the ones being like, the Sand Snakes. Wait till y'all see what these Sand Snakes gonna do, though. And then it's like, these niggas are overrated as fuck.
Right.
Now, part of that is probably the way HBO filmed their fight scenes. Because their fight scenes were pretty whack.
Right.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. It was, they felt whack to me, is what I'm saying. Anyway, this is their best fight scene, to be honest. Like,
yeah, compared to the other ones, yes.
They was in there fighting. Mm-hmm. They got their ass handed to them by Euron, but they killed everybody else that fucked with them, just about. And basically, Euron took Oberyn's sword and stabbed her through with it. And then the one with the whip, he knocked her ass out and killed her. Then he fought Yar to a standstill. And meanwhile, Ilaria and her blood daughter, the one where Ilaria is her mom, mm-hmm. she got the weakest weapon, throwing knives. And she ended up fighting some of Euron's men, and then eventually they both got captured. And then Ilaria was like, just kill us now, get it over with. And one dude shook his head like, nah.
We got plans for y'all.
Right. And then, who knows what the plans are, but you know this show.
Right. I think that, in my opinion, I think that she's going to be one of the things that they roll back up to Cersei.
I think she is the gift. I also think there's a reason that her daughter was left alive, because I think that specific daughter is her blood. Okay, that's, and Marcella was Cersei's daughter. So I think she's probably gonna make her watch her daughter die or something like that.
Yep, because that's what kind of nigga Cersei is.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then Euron and Yara battle it out. He captures Yara and puts an axe to her throat, and then he dares Theon to save her.
And he had a PTSD episode.
Well, Theon looked at everybody around. Obviously, Euron had an axe to Yara's throat. And he basically channeled Red's father from Friday and said, you want some too, old man? And he said, no. And dived off the side of the ship like Kyrie Irving trying to get out the calves. And Theon, it ended with Theon just floating in the water looking at the ship sail off and the credits roll. What y'all think about Theon's decision to not go out the yard? Karen?
I understand. I understand why she was disappointed, because her thing was like, nigga, we came back for you. Mm-hmm. I went against my daddy's will. My daddy up down while I was gone, coming back for your punk ass, and you gonna leave. She had just said that he quote unquote was supposed to be a protector by his side. He quote unquote pledged his allegiance. So I was like, okay. But I really think that at that moment they did a real good job of showing his PTSD from him just all of a sudden he realized, oh shit, I'm in a fight, people are getting fucked up around me, okay. And he kind of retreated to back to what he knew.
You know what's interesting is she didn't save him when she came back for him. Remember, she tried to, but he was still fucked up, and he decided to stay there.
Yeah.
And he basically ratted her out then, and then she had to fight off Ramsay Snow and his hounds to escape.
That's right. She ended up leaving without him. That's
right. He freed himself when he tried to free Sansa, and even exhibited some bravery where he was going to fight those troops.
Correct.
For Sansa, but, you know, ended up not having to because Brienne showed up. So it's interesting with him. What did you think about it, Miss Smart?
Well, I think the guy who is playing Theon is a great actor, because I felt like looking at his face, we saw him switch from Theon to Reek.
Right.
And, you know, literally, like, his mannerisms, the muscles in his face, like, all changed. And his sister was looking at him like, yo, I thought we had gone through this, like, you know, with still hope. But I don't trust that dude wouldn't have still slit her throat anyway.
Right.
You know? And I would like to think he has Theon has PTSD and everything, but I would like to think that once he clung to that little piece of wood or whatever, that at some point he's going to get his bearings together and, like, you know, follow them or go after them. But I'm not sure, because he really, like, he switched on a dime.
Okay. I will say this. He killed them kids. And them kids ain't have nothing to do with nothing. He killed them innocent farmer's kids. I don't fuck with him on no level, dog. Like, they tried to redeem him. But I wasn't lying. I won't lie. When I saw this scene, I was partially rooting for him to jump off the side of the boat. Cause I was like, his ass ain't shit. and he is gonna do the most ain't shit thing that you could do right now. The honorable thing to do would be like, you know, I'm about to challenge this nigga for a fight, and even if he killed my sister, I'm gonna kill this nigga, whatever. He had been holding his own the whole trip. You know, he had been fighting all them other niggas on the boat, but all of a sudden nigga just lost his shit, jumped off the motherfucking boat. I don't feel no sympathy for his punk ass, and I hope he drown out there. I hope fucking they got some type of Westerosi sharks that eat his ass. I don't give a fuck about that dude. I hope none of them ships is still working so he can try to catch a ride back. I don't think he gonna plan a Yara saving expedition. I think the only thing he gonna do is roll off to some island and live the rest of his life like Tom Hanks in that movie with the volleyball. Fuck Reek.
Now I do think he'll go back to Danny, and Danny gonna fuck him up because he was like,
go back to Danny. Okay, how you gonna go back?
I don't know.
Nigga, nigga gonna catch a canoe? Fuck him. I hope he die. I hope he drown. I hope the drown god don't even let him drown. I hope he drown and the drown god spit him up and then he drown again. And the guy just over and over. Fuck that nigga. He is trash, dog. I knew his bitch ass was not gonna go save his sister. I was sitting on my couch like, nigga, if that was me, I would be like, fuck a Euron Greyjoy. I will fuck you up. Get your hands off my sister. And he don't care. He like, I barely know her. I fingered her the first time I saw her. I don't know shit about this woman. So fuck him. And y'all, that's what you get for believing in that nigga.
You think his fuck you is because maybe he thinks that he's gonna have to come up since there's nobody else, you know, in his way now. Like if his uncle somehow gets killed, maybe he can end up in a higher position. I mean, even though he can't make any, well, you see, here's the thing. He can still make heirs because he only cut off the penis. He didn't cut off the balls, right?
I don't know. My thing is this though. Why would anyone follow this bitch ass nigga?
Oh yeah, they're not gonna.
They got that really harsh ass like ritual to even become the king. And fucking Euron went through that shit, dog. Like he drowned and came back. Like yeah, he did the shit. You know, I can't even see Reek doing that shit. Oh, whack ass nigga. Fuck him and fuck all them Greyjoys, dog. I fuck with Yara a little bit, but she's stupid for believing in this nigga. Oh, child killing ass nigga. Fuck him. People was writing think pieces talking about feeling sorry for him. For what? Oh, he helped free Sansa. He freed himself.
Know he killed the kids.
Say what?
I said Yara doesn't know he killed the kids.
That's why you gotta do your due diligence right there.
I gotta do your background. Gotta do your Google.
Gotta do your Googles right there. You know who knows he gonna kill? You know who probably know he killed them kids? Varys.
Tyrion.
Qyburn.
Oh yeah.
A bunch of motherfuckers know he killed them kids. She wasn't asking no questions. Ask the right questions. Nigga started a whole ass revolution. Even fucking Ramsay knew he killed them kids. He got him to confess it. No fucking punk ass. I hate that nigga. I'm glad he got fucked up. I wish he was the one that got took hostage and Yara jumped off the side. That would have been even better. We got some emails, guys. J4 writes in, greetings House Jackson and guest. Thyree Greyjoy jumped off that boat like somebody turned on the lights and he found out the Martells weren't white. I thought this episode was the perfect balance of politics and action, but the boat scene cinematography seemed like they were trying to make Liam Neeson look like a badass.
It was beautiful.
I thought it looked great. Poor Arya. Nymeria hit her with the Best Buy shirt. Hopefully she comes back for longer than 7 raw strokes. Speaking of strokes, I bet Grey Worm and Missandei were tripping their asses off. They're gonna heal that black love divide Insecure creates. But I can't front. I was ready to fight Gray Rock Obama when he pulled that "you're my weakness" bullshit. Luckily, black women stay saving us from ourselves. That is all. J4. P.S. What is the sigil for House Jackson? Well, actually, they were selling them at the it's a black power fist, but they were selling them at NegroCon. Should have been there, J4. Next time, bro. At the same time, I thought that weakness line was cool. Like it was, he barely speak that language that they were speaking. So it took a while for him to get going. But once he got going, I saw what was like nice about it. I thought it was a good little monologue.
Because most men don't admit weakness to shit.
Yeah, it was that thing where like, Boys in the Hood, when that nigga started crying at Jada Pinkett house, and she finally was like, you can have some pussy. It's that thing.
Jada Pinkett, what's her name?
I'm sorry, was it Nia Long? Who's in?
Yeah, Nia Long.
Yeah, Nia Long, my fault, y'all. But you know what I'm saying? Nigga was crying. She was like, oh, they put a gun in your head, boo, let me just bless you off with something so you can feel better about your life. And he was like, you know what, I do want to live. Mac writes in, Thrones, the show started out with serious girl power planning session. I thought they were about to get information. I was surprised to see it take a turn with Yara and the Dornish catching the fade that they received. Although the Greyjoys were always seafaring warriors, I never quite pictured them as pirates. Euron's representation in this episode felt more like a pirate theme.
Yeah, Euron was a pirate. Yeah, he was like, I went around fucking shit up.
Yeah, Euron's whole thing is like, I got banished, but I went out to these streets and got real. Oh, what is that sound? Is your phone by your mic, Miss Smart? Is that you or is that us? Uh-uh. Okay, I don't know where that sound came from. All right, it's gone, I guess. Okay. Anyway, Euron was like, man, I was out in these streets, dog. I had to survive, and I was out here pirating on these niggas. And that's why I'm the baddest nigga in the land on this water.
Right.
And doggone, Euron must have been on that hypnotic and Hennessy because nothing could stop him. Right. Seemed like he was cut and slashed a bunch of times, but he just kept on going. That dire wolf was freaking huge. I would have fell over like a possum in front of that joint. And that grayscale Sam should have brought more than one thing of liquor. Mac. Thanks, Mac. EVE says, Game of Thrones feedback from EVE. This episode of Games was like a roller coaster ride for me with its highs and lows, and I loved it all. I don't trust Varys one bit. That is the bald-headed version of Littlefinger, and both of those dudes had to go. Yeah, she needs to listen to Lady Olena of House Bars because she always has the bars, and she was dropping some hot ones in the latest episode. Speaking of bars, John dropped some Littlefinger. And I loved it. But like I said, Littlefinger is shitty and that dude has got to go. I hope Sansa pushes him out the moon door. I know people were excited to see the reunion of Nymeria and Arya, but that scene was disappointing that they didn't reunite like they hoped for. But I can't blame Nymeria. She stepped to Arya like, bitch, I heard what happened to my brothers and sisters. You Starks got them killed. I'm just going to stay on these streets. Bye, bitch. Being with the Starks is like a death sentence almost. I wouldn't be surprised if Ghost don't make it through this series.
Aww.
Yeah. Maybe Ghost and Nymaria get together and have more direwolves.
Has any bad ever happened to Littlefinger?
Say what?
Has anything bad ever happened to Littlefinger?
Yeah, he didn't get with Caitlyn. He never got some of that Caitlyn.
Yeah, but is that bad or a blessing?
I mean, it's bad to him. I mean, you asking, and then of course his prostitution houses got torn down when the High Sanders took over. King's Landing.
Okay. He was mad about that.
He lost 92 pricks, had to fall back.
Right, that's why him and Little Lena had to do some kind of allegiance because he was like, okay, mm-hmm. Bitch, he closed my whole house. We can't be having this.
And then Cersei stopped listening to him and shit. At any rate, she goes on to say, I was more excited to see Hot Pie. I bet his bread is on point. Notice how all the earlier people who got out of Dodge early in the seasons are still alive. Nymeria has been spreading the word. Stay away from the Starks if you want to live. Yeah. I'm glad Sam cured the rock AIDS, but that's it. We don't know that he cured that. That's what I meant to add.
Oh, we don't.
That's a risky ass procedure. I wouldn't be surprised if shit didn't work and Jorah dies.
Right.
Because that would be the exact kind of rug this show would pull from under your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Sam
should catch it just for being so close to him.
Right. He had on gloves and everything, but I'm like, I don't know, bro.
Right.
Who washed them toes? Y'all, I seen y'all eat out shit bowls, bro. I don't know that we can trust y'all.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, but it was just as gross as shit as the soup from last week. Poor Sam. Euron Greyjoy jumped out that ship like Miguel crowd diving off the stage.
Oh,
and he took out two sand snakes. What a letdown that way. Those sand snakes were hyped for nothing, which is disappointing considering how female driven the show has become. As for Theon, that coward ass coward, he jumped out the boat like Tommen jumped out the window.
he took a dive.
I wish people would stop feeling sorry for him. Never forget that he killed those two Miller boys. Exactly. It's forever fuck Theon. I just hope Yara finds a way to escape, but it doesn't look good for her. I don't feel one way or another about Ilaria and her daughters. her daughter because they did murder Marcella for no damn reason. She was the only one, she was the only decent Lannister, and Trystane. And finally, to the real MVP of the episode, Missandei, for chopping down Grey Worm's unsullied cakes to smithereens. That was a beautiful scene. Plus, we got to see titties. Another great episode. By the way, it was nice meeting you at NegroCon, Miss Smart. You're so pretty. Evie.
Ain't she dope?
Hey, thank you.
John writes in.
Refresh, baby. Think you're getting a robot.
Is it me? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Let me refresh. I just keep hearing this, like, this feedback on the mic, and I don't know what it is. Right, I'm not touching my mic.
Okay. Is it me? My phone not too close, is it?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. It just kept coming in and out. Maybe it was something I just need to refresh. We'll see in a second here.
But you keep hearing that too?
Yeah, I just kept hearing like this buzz or something, like roo, roo. Like, I know it happens when I get too close to my mic sometimes, but I don't know. Hopefully it's gone now. I refreshed. All right, back to these emails though. Hey Rod, Karen, and Miss Smart. This is from John, who says, long time listener, second time emailer. I can be found in both of y'all's Twitter mentions under the moniker Absurd Spoonful. Oh yeah, I know you, dog.
Hey baby.
I can't be the only black person who's been singing Be a Dragon to the tune of Be a Lion from The Wiz since the private conversation between Olenna, Tyrell, and the Daenerys.
Oh.
I'm also a little concerned that instead of using the advice for getting Cersei and them out the paint, that Dany might apply it to her meeting with John next week and make a decision that might get all the Westeros slaughtered by the White Walkers. Oh, Be a Dragon. I hope she don't do something to John. I'm probably being paranoid, but Game of Thrones writers' room is not to be trusted.
Mm-mm.
I'll tell you this much. If she kills John there, at least Melisandre's there to resurrect him.
Correct.
You know? Although he told her not to do it again, but what the fuck he gonna do? He dead.
Right.
I immediately yelled, yes, when my nigga Hot Pie came back on the screen. I felt like these writers are gonna kill him after ending his convo with Arya with the words, I'm a survivor, but I'm so glad he made a brief appearance. Y'all so paranoid now. Y'all be thinking everybody gonna die.
Cause nobody's safe. That's what they told you.
That's funny, man. Finally, I'm not saying they won't either, but it's just funny because I don't even be thinking about that during the show, to be honest.
And so we're gonna see,
but
Popeye,
I mean, y'all right, anybody could get it.
Yeah, Popeye gonna be a White Walker with a pie next time.
Finally, I'm going to go on record at not being a single ounce of shit for laughing at Theon Greyjoy doing the Greg Louganis dive off the side of that ship. I cackled a cackle so loud that it was heard across the entire Pacific Northwest. I understand trauma, PTSD, and triggers, and in spite of this hard behavior, I'm a little sympathetic to Theon, but I laughed like I was watching Coming to America, because I ain't shit. I laughed like a motherfucker, because I knew he was gonna do it. I said, jump, just fucking jump, you piece of shit. And he jumped off. I said, good, I could stay hating your ass, because I would hate for him to do something brave, and then I had to give him some props on this show. Never. I'm not particularly rooting for any of these characters since Marjorie Tyrell died, so I'm just along for the ride at this point, but thanks so much for these recaps, y'all. They are always one of my favorite parts of the week. Aw, thank you.
Thank you.
Patricia writes in, hey Rod, Karen, and insert guest name here, Miss Smart. Another great episode of them Thrones. I was smiling, crying, hollering, and shaking my head. Missandei and Grey Worm gave me the black love I've been waiting for. Did y'all peep that nice fern behind on my man Grey Worm? Yes. Yeah, they both had, they both was looking good. Tip top shape. Mm-hmm. Theon, better known as, and forevermore will be known as, Reek, can kiss my entire black ass. How you gonna let your sister drown down twice? Do you think Gendry will pick him up on his way, rowing to wherever he is going? Nigga been rowing for 5 seasons. If that nigga sees Theon, I'm gonna be mad as hell. I'm glad Arya going home. I would really like to see all the stars back together one more time before the shit hits the fan. Thanks for the best Game of Thrones recap in these recap streets, Patrice W. Well, the thing is, Patrice, I don't even think they can all be together, because Jon gonna be down there at Dragonstone. So even if Arya get back to
and whatchamacallit's at the wall.
Who?
Bran.
Oh yeah, Bran's at the wall.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I don't know if they can get the remaining Starks back together. I hope they do though. But it'll be interesting to see how they do it, because at the at the what do you call it? At in Winterfell, you'll have Arya. So if they all come home, you'll have Arya, I mean, you have Arya, Sansa, and Bran together if everybody comes back to Winterfell.
Right. That's if everybody goes back.
Right. And then you got Jon, who hopefully returns.
Hopefully.
Which, knowing this show, even if he can convince the Unsullied or the Dothraki or the dragons to come back with him,
something that happened and keeps him there.
Well, I was gonna say it'll end up probably being a last second, like, oh, Jon showed up and saved the day and killed the White Walkers. Okay. Like, so even if it happens, I don't know if everybody gonna make it till then.
Okay, that's true.
Rob writes saying, hey, one thing about Thrones, when the Unsullied were fighting against the masses, they didn't seem to be super soldiers. When they were fighting this season, when they fight this season, I hope they live up to the hype. Rob. Yeah, I didn't even really think about that, but yeah, I mean, they got killed by that, I forget what the Order of the Phoenix ass niggas, whatever they was. Forget what, the Sons of the Harpies, that's what it was. The Sons of the Harpy ass niggas was fucking them up. But remember, there was a lot of ambush type shit too.
Right, they wouldn't plan on it. Everybody was kind of relaxing, they'd been drinking and shit. Next thing you know, y'all getting fucked up.
Yeah, them niggas were some terrorists, you know? So, all right, we got two more emails and we'll be done. Emil writes saying, hello all. I was highly disappointed with the end of this episode. Not with the quality or the level of enjoyment, but how it ended. Before Ilaria could even ask Yara what them stank hoes do, Euron came through to smash up those ships. I was intrigued with the possibility of a full-fledged relationship between Ilaria and Yara. I guess it was not meant to be. Yeah, I read an article about that, about how they don't like how Game of Thrones uses queer relationships as like background stories and for a gag rather than an actual full-blown relationship. The closest one we got was Renly Baratheon in the beginning, when it was him and like Lancel, and then he got killed by the pussy poltergeist. Which they really read into, because they was like, so you saying a straight heterosexual relationship will always kill the gays with this pussy poltergeist coming from Melisandre and Stannis? And I was like, I don't know if it was that deep or not, but I feel you. But it has been a lot of gags. Like, there hasn't really been a true same sex relationship. There's been like an open relationship kind of with Ilaria and the Freaky Prince,
right?
Where they was like, we'll fuck anybody. But there hasn't really been a same sex relationship treated with the same gravitas as even like the incestuous relationship between Cersei and Jaime. Or any other relationship, you know. Now, this isn't really a show about a lot of healthy relationships. Mm-mm. So, I mean, I feel y'all on that, but I thought it was a good point, which is, this is another instance of, look, these two queer characters might be queer and hook up with each other, two queer characters, cause they're both bi possibly.
Yeah.
And then they yank it from under you and be like, nope, they're just hostages. They don't love each other. Nothing's gonna happen with this relationship.
And they could have had that with Marjorie's brother and his guy, mm-hmm. but they made it sort of tawdry and not like an emotional connection.
Yeah, now it is a land where gayness is persecuted, especially in men.
Right.
So I could also understand that, but I mean, the I think the critique is valid that they don't flesh out these relationships or look at the depth of them in any seriousness. It's always just a plot device. Also, mm-hmm. anybody who thought Reek was redeemed should think again. Protector indeed. Overall, I'm excited on the possibilities for the rest of the season. Oh yeah, you know Ilaria gonna bring that up, by the way, right? Thought you said your brother was your protector. What happened? Mm-hmm. I'm excited on the possibilities of the rest of the season. We will see Jon meeting Dany and a possible reunion of sisters between Arya and Sansa. Do you think we will actually get a reunion or if the writers will drag out Arya's journey over the course of the shortened season? Also, do you think Lawrence will keep taking Tasha on real dates or just stay up in the crib smashing all weekend? Oops, sorry, wrong show. Yeah, don't start them fights over here, homeboy. Finally, I noted that the writers threw in that make Westeros great again speech to try to appeal to bannermen to band together against foreigners and savages. Keep up the great recaps. Thanks, Emil. And I think he will keep taking it out on real dates. But what's gonna happen when he realizes that they don't have much in common other than fucking? You know, Lawrence might be kind of
keep fucking her and find somebody he does have something in common with while fucking her.
Yeah, I feel like Lawrence is a little bit of a snob too. You know, he be noticing when she use slang and shit, and I'll be noticing him noticing, like, what's so bad about that? You know? Anyway, good luck to my man Lawrence out there. And I'm team Tasha, in case y'all were wondering. A game of shout outs is from Ashanti, our girl. She says, what up, Negroes of the North? Let's get right to the shit. Shout out to the Ironborn and Dornish nigga that posted his location on Facebook before setting sail from Dragonstone. Right? Who's that? Why did they find them? Hey, dog, we hitting selling out the Dorn. You know how it is. Gonna get bitches. Get money. Cha-ching. Add to the gram. Shout out to Lady Olenna, the OG attending these war council meetings with Tyrion, knowing goddamn well she still owe that little nigga apology from season 4, taking the fall for Joffrey's death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shout out to Lil, man, that would be crazy if Tyrion was behind something to set her ass up. Like, I ain't forgot. Mm-hmm. But you know what? She ain't gonna apologize, and she don't really owe him an apology. He wanted her Joffrey dead, and she did. Shout out to Lil Jay Euron of the East Side Boys. Y'all just had to fall into the club at the exact same fucking time. Alaria and Yara were about to break the number one rule of the champagne room. Yep.
No sex in it.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to Sansa, yo happy ass, about to take the East Side High equivalent of the basic skills test without John to lean on. It'll be dope if she a great leader, though.
I think she would
be. Of all the way to flip it, I would actually like it better if Sansa was a dope ass leader. And when John came back, everybody was like, oh, we straight. shout out to the Sand Snakes, who clearly never practiced fighting in real combat situation. Y'all pappies would be crushed to know how you turned out. Shout out to anyone who thought Arya was about to run up on the White Walker King instead of Nymeria. Oh, was that just me? Okay then, nigga, I wasn't ready for that. If the White Walker would have showed up, I'll be like, how'd they get past the fence?
Right.
Shout out to Reek, you bitch. I hope Yara survives to cut off what is left of your shit and sands the area down so it's smooth to the touch, you raggedy looking Ken doll motherfucker. Speaking of Ken doll, shout out to Grey Worm. Holla. P.S. Shout out to HBO tweeting that pic of George sipping ass letter to Khaleesi, translated to the original King Lenny Wilkins version. It says, girl, you know I love you. But we knew that. That's true. I knew that nigga was going to be sipping in that letter. And that's everything, guys. That was it. That was fun. We appreciate y'all.
A lot of fun.
Miss Smart, thank you so much.
Thank you, Miss Smart.
For being on the show.
You're welcome. You're not gonna ask us what we're looking forward to?
I was gonna ask you, what are you looking forward to next week? Right before we get out of here. That's what I normally do. Well, so, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to, well, not necessarily next week, I guess. I'm looking forward to sometime down the line where Cersei and them end up killing a dragon. And because they like kill a dragon, then there's like nobody, or all three dragons, there's nobody to kill the White Walkers, and her team ends up getting killed anyway. I'm looking forward to Cersei's demise.
Yeah, I think Cersei gonna take that L. I don't know how she gonna take that L, but she gonna take that L. And I'm also looking forward to Arya getting back to her sister and them. It's gonna be interesting what happened to Brandon and them at the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Also the wildlings, probably next season, quote unquote, we ain't gonna be too long for the wildlings.
I need to see John meet Danny. That's gonna be dope.
Yes,
with Tyrion and all them there, and what happens when he sees Melisandre punk ass.
Come on.
I also would like to see what the fuck Cersei has in store for Ilaria and her daughter.
Oh, she got something.
Cause shit is gonna get real fucking interesting.
She might do something public.
It's gonna be real interesting. Cause you kill her daughter and she ain't gonna have no mercy about that shit. And, you know, it was some backhanded shit and Jamie ain't gonna have no mercy about it. I don't know what diabolical shit she can think of to fuck them up, but it's gonna be bad, 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 is my guess. That's it. Alright, we'll be back, Saturday for the feedback show. All the premium stuff, Nerd Off happened this Tuesday, did Balls Deep this morning and pregame. They're already on your feeds. So, you know, if we see a movie, I'm sure we'll discuss the movie, but that's about it, guys. So we'll talk to you guys, later in this week. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.